And this business of disengaging, letting go, letting go, letting go, that requires mythological help. These are the normal transformations of a lifetime that mythology should help us to fulfill in our lives and to find in our lives fulfillment. These all have to do with the normal pedagogy of life, maturity, and death. You might say birth, marriage, and one's funeral. Those are the three great moments. But during the lifetime, there are these other transformations, which I think are best symbolized, best scored and mapped in the wonderful tradition from India of the Kundalini Yoga. And you can see how life can be lived on these seven levels. The first chakra down at the base of the body, simply uninspired hanging on to life. The psychology at this stage is what we deal with in behaviorism. There's no enthusiasm. There's no action. There's only reaction. You're living in terms of concrete facts. And, well, as I always say, I always think of dragons when I think of this. Dragons guard things in caves. They guard piles of gold and beautiful virgins, but they don't know what to do with either of them. And so they just hang on. People like that we call creeps. This is the lowest range. Then the next, and this is the awakening that comes in adolescence, is erotic. Suddenly life is transformed. Nietzsche describes the first condition as groveling before sheer fact. There's no such thing as a sheer fact. There's only a fact for a subject. And suddenly, at adolescence, one falls in love, and that stupid fact that was only Susie yesterday is a goddess today, and you have turned her into something. And there is an initiative coming from you in your life action. There's a whole realm of religious disciplines based on this love principle, the ways of love, the five ways that they speak of in the Vaishnava tradition, the way of the servant to a master, the way of the friend to a friend, the way of a parent's love for the child when the spiritual child is born in your own heart. This is the virgin birth and so forth. Then the way of love in marriage, and then just the wild, mad love of a person when it overtakes you and the world can go to pieces. When love hits you that way, you're lucky. And you're lucky if you survive it. It's a tremendous thing. That's when the separateness is annihilated and you break through to a metaphysical realization. But then comes the next level, and this is the one on which the world lives. It's that of the chakra at the level of the navel, which is of aggression, which is of winning. All politics is aggression. It has to be. Because you're standing for a group, you're standing for an idea against something. It may be the most spiritual idea, but it's against what isn't spiritual. The whole aggression of the missionary movements is an example of this. On these three levels, animals live on these three levels. Those are the levels of holding on to life, reproducing life, and winning. And this is what popular religions are concerned with: health, wealth, and progeny. Winning the war, God send us rain for our crops, and all that sort of thing. This isn't the religious emotion yet. The next center is right here at the heart, and this is the awakening then of the hearing of the sound of Om and the stilling of the impulse. No longer is the goal out there, it's here, this is it. Following this, there comes a transformation if one really puts oneself to it, and this is what the Dalai Lama was talking about. All of one's commitments to health, wealth, and progeny fall into second place. The whole goal is the realization of this spiritual truth through one's life in action, in relationships to each other. Those become transformed. That's the transformation that has to take place. Somehow, on a popular level, the people should learn to react in their own interests while at the same time recognizing the identity of their interests and the interests of the other person. Something like this has to happen. And it's ready to happen, it seems to me. And when it happens, then you might say we come to this center here where the vision of God, where is the vision of God? It's right here in front of our face. The idea of God in the West is that God is a fact somewhere. And that fact created the world and sent energies into the world. That's a very crude idea about God. The God is a personification of an energy. It's the energy that fills the world. It's the energy of life. It's the energy of consciousness that is right in here. And if you want to see it personified, look around you. Here it is. The only personification, the only anthropomorphic manifestation of God is in men and women and children. And that kind of realization, people are ready for it, but they've been told, no, no, God's out there. I heard only last night from a woman who had heard me give a lecture a long time back where I had the indiscretion to say to a group of people, bring forth the Christ in yourself. That Christ power, which is Buddha power, all beings are Buddha beings, all people are Christ people. And she said, there was a priest sitting beside me, and he said, that is blasphemy. Now, when you have a religion that transforms a metaphor into a fact, you're in trouble. God is a metaphor. It's a poetic idea speaking past itself. There's a wonderful master in Germany now whom I met 2 years ago, Karlfried Graf Dürkheim. He has a school in the Black Forest. And he has a term, and when I heard it, I just became illuminated, you might say. So the problem with people is that they are not transparent to transcendence. They're not transparent to transcendence. The energies that pour into our body through the organs of our body are asking us to be so-and-so. And our minds have a little notion up here about what we should be. And we intend things over there. The body, the energy, the God in us wants it this way, and our mind wants it that way. Bring these together so that then you are transparent to transcendence. And all the deities must be recognized as transparent to transcendence. And a deity who says, I'm it, has closed the gate. And then you have a sect. And then you have a Mecca, but no center everywhere. There is a Hermetic text that was translated in the 13th century from Greek into Latin called the Book of the 24 Philosophers. And there we read, God is an intelligible sphere, a sphere known to the mind, whose center is everywhere and circumference nowhere. That's the same thing that Black Elk said. And that's the same thing that somehow has to get put into people's consciousness. They've got it in their unconscious, they know it, but it should be up here. I once had a marvelous hour with a wise man in India. His name was Atmananda, and he was in Trivandrum down in the southwest part of India. And at the end of our talk, he said, where are you between two thoughts? That's a good meditation. It's the thought that separates you from. And right thinking is so easy, but it must be transparent. I was reading a couple of days ago a darling little essay by Daisetsu Suzuki. You remember the Zen philosopher who was over here. He told this story. He said a young student said to his guru, am I in possession of Buddha nature, of the Buddha nature? No, said the guru. The boy said, well, I understand that all things are in possession of the Buddha nature, the birds, the flowers, the trees, the people, clouds. That's right, said the guru. All things are in possession of the Buddha nature.